From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. Hopefully you are having a fantastic day today. Is this on? Yeah, now I can hear myself. Okay. Couldn't hear myself at first. Wasn't sure if the microphone was on. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Radio Joe across from me, back today after a day off yesterday. Where'd you go? Door County or something like that?
No, I was just off.
Oh, you were just off. Okay.
I had lunch with... an old friend, Tom Pippins.
Tommy P.
Yeah.
Tommy P. I've got a question. This is just a really off-the-wall question. And don't think less of me. Okay? Here, this is legit, okay? So, as you know, my mother-in-law passed a couple of weeks ago. So, they had her cremated. And Sherry and her brother, Sherry got the larger urn, and her brother gets a smaller keepsake urn, okay? So both of the urns were given to us as we exited the funeral home, and her brother said, well, I'll get it from you at another time. So I'm leaving for work today, and Sherry says, hey, my brother is going to stop by the radio station. Can you, you know, in the worst of ways, I mean, I guess, how do you say it gently? Can you... pass along mom's ashes? Can you give mom to him? You know, whatever. Well, I'm on the air. It's not conducive just to see him at the window and go, hey, I'm on my way out. You know what I mean? Is it appropriate to hand your past mother-in-law to your receptionist and say, someone is coming by to pick up their mother? you know, because Kelly up front, she's fantastic. And she's like, I'm fine with that. No problem. But you mention that to a few people, and it's like, really? But is it appropriate? So, and I didn't think really much of it. I mean, it's the keepsake. It's the urn. Yes, it's her ashes. But it's not as if you're wheeling a casket into the middle of the lobby to say, hey, can you send this to FedEx for me? You know what I mean? So I was kind of asking a few people around here. Chuck Freeman looked like I peed in his cereal. Ooh, really? Ooh, ooh. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should have thought twice about this. I didn't know. Some people, death makes people either, it just makes people uncomfortable, might be the best way to put it. But nevertheless, I did that today, and I'm thinking, did I do something wrong? Is there's something innately wrong with this? So anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out there. It's one of those social questions. Every now and then you can debate this. So around the water coolers, those of you that are listening to us in office buildings, or if you're a delivery driver or working on the construction site, debate. Feel free. Pass along the day at my expense. There you go. Interesting article, by the way, in case you did not get a chance to see it. Rob Domofsky, and I had said this on Sunday, I gave him and Pete Doherty a lot of credit because they had asked Aaron Rodgers some extremely tough questions about accuracy. And Aaron began to kind of explain it away as not being on the same page. And look, they see what we see. All right? They're like, wait a minute. You know, dude, you're missing guys wide open. This isn't throwing to a spot, okay? You're supposed to be the best damn quarterback in all of football. This isn't throwing to a spot. This is throwing, you know, this is just missing guys for whatever reason. And why is it happening? So I gave credit to Rob and Pete for kind of going after him a little bit and saying, you know, hey, what's going on, man? So they wrote about... you know, whether or not Aaron Rodgers should or shouldn't play, but Rob Domofsky wrote an article late yesterday. It said, how much is Aaron Rodgers to blame for the Packers' wasted season? He's a $134 million quarterback, and he's not performing to that caliber. You know, the first 14 games of the season would have been a good time to kind of show that $134 million arm. And I know there are people out there that get tired of this discussion, but look, you are banking a lot of money that this guy is just, that this season is an apparition. He says at least Rodgers, who has a career low 54.8 total QBR as the start of this season, admitted, sort of, that there's an accuracy issue. It's been the problem is, and people think we're picking on him, and we're not, only for the fact that the problem is he has been remarkably accurate. I mean, that's what opened everybody's eyes up when he was a backup to Brett Favre. When you're watching this guy in practice surgically just tear apart the scout team defense, and I'm talking guys like, you know, the really good secondary they had and up and comers, he was shredding this defense easily. And all of a sudden that accuracy just isn't there. As he goes on to say, the reason, however, is far from clear, just not being on the same page with guys that he's throwing to, Rodgers said. Sunday's loss was just another example of considering Rodgers was 4 of 12 passing, 10 yards plus downfield. 4 of 12. That's it. 1 of 9, 20-plus yards downfield. He was 8 of 12, by the way, for 119 yards to Davante Adams, who hit the 100-catch mark, and now only needs 14 catches in the final couple of weeks to break the single-season franchise record. But he was just 6 of 14 for 54 yards to everybody else. Most notably, he overshot Equanimeous St. Brown on a post route for what should have been a 23-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter. We all saw that. And that's what everybody said. No, it was a bad route. No, he missed him. He also missed overthrew Randall Cobb and Marquez Valdes-Scantling on both deep routes. And, you know, granted, you can say, okay, there's pressure. You know, Khalil Mack and company, they're coming after him. Okay, Khalil Mack, 2.5 sacks on Sunday, 12.5 for the season. You know he's a one-man wrecking crew, all right? Joe Philbin saying, I think it's a little bit of everything. There was just some opportunities there where things weren't quite in rhythm. Some of the throws are extended plays and moving around, and I know he's made some great plays like that in the past. He has even in this year. And Joe Philbin is trying to very gently say, hey, it's just, you know, it's a number of different things, and Aaron's just, he's trying to make excuses, but there isn't. Because Aaron Rodgers has made a living of being on the run, of scramble. And I'm not saying this to bash him. I'm saying this concerned. You hope that this all comes back in the offseason. That whatever he needs to do, whatever he has to do to either get away, continue to rehab his body, the throwing shoulder where the broken collarbone is. I don't know. Prior to his collarbone in week 6 of last season, he was on a 14-game tear dating back to 2016, in which he threw 37 touchdown passes and just 5 picks. He completed 67.3% of his passes and had a passer rating of 110.4. Now, the Packers were 12-2 during the 2016 playoffs. In that 14-game stretch before that, when everybody wondered what was wrong with Aaron Rodgers, the numbers were 31 touchdowns, 10 picks, 61% completion percentage, and a 91.7 passer rating for a 5-9 record. In 14 games this season, Rodgers has 23 touchdowns, only 2 picks, 61.8% completion percentage, and a quarterback rating of 97.2, while the Packers are 5-8-1. Rodgers insists that it's close. He says, when Randall's healthy, I think our offense is different because we have a true slot guy who can make plays in the slot consistently. But he's missed a lot of games this year, and there's no denying that. I go back to what I stated last night in a piece that, and even what I said yesterday was, you lose your quarterback's coach, you lose Jordy Nelson, your offensive line on the right side is banged up, you don't have your starting running back for the first 2 games of the season, and even then, you don't get him until game 9 fully vested because they kept Ty Montgomery and trying to force different guys into the rotation. And then when you have Davante Adams completely covered, you're looking for Jimmy Graham, who has had stone fingers and been banged up, and then your other go-to guy, Geronimo Allison, goes out with a season-ending injury. So now you're left to play with 3 rookies and some tight ends who really aren't big-time pass-catching tight ends. So, yeah, there's some built-in reasoning there. But this is something that, for all intents and purposes, you need to get corrected. So whether that's bringing in a veteran, which I don't see, people say just bring in a veteran. He'll know it. Well, he doesn't know Aaron Rodgers. He knows football, but he doesn't know Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is all about, quote, being on the same page. So I think it's a terrific article. If you've had a chance to read it, again, it's on ESPN.com and go to Rob Domofsky or just follow him on Twitter. But it's something that's very legitimate. It's something that we have been talking about now. This is, I don't know whether we're just ahead of the curve or we just noticed something or we were the first to say, okay, the emperor has no clothes. But we've been talking about this for some time, that it's just, something is just not right this season. And he's absolutely right. Games 1 through 6 last year, Aaron Rodgers was Superman again. So can it happen? Absolutely. But all the wonderment comes after the collarbone break on his throwing shoulder to say, okay, has he lost the ability to completely control his body and his arm to be able to be that pinpoint passer that we've become accustomed to? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. They have the Euros. They are back for a limited time only. The Euro meat, the chicken meat. All the fixings, that terrific Italian bread. Stop in and get you some over at your local Cousin Subs. You can download the app on your mobile device as well, or just go to CousinSubs.com. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Your phone calls. Talking a little bit about this. Coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
Show, we are on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. Hey, if you're in if you are in the Milwaukee area or the Green Bay area, or for that matter, if you're anywhere in the state of Wisconsin and you're struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about this pill or that pill. ED can be caused by many underlying health issues or just normal aging. Call the medical experts at Neubel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results right there on the first visit. Otherwise, that visit is free, my friends. Absolutely free. Plus, if you have the low T thing going on, go on and get your numbers checked. If you're over the age of 30, sluggish, moody, foggy, you may have some low T, and thanks to Neumel, I've got tons of energy. Following through on my busy lifestyle, that's for sure. And if you want to shed some pounds, especially this time of year as you come out of the new year, or into the new year with a new you, you can check out the all-in-one weight loss program. You can feel younger, get back in the game. Just call Neumel Medical, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Neumel Medical Center, our good friends over there. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's go to Ty, listening to us in Philadelphia. Ty, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening?
How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, man, listen, I can appreciate, you know, this conversation, man, because this is just a real thing that's going on right before our eyes. So I could definitely appreciate it. I'm not going to be sick of talking about this until Aaron Rodgers gives us another MVP Super Bowl type season. But, you know, the thing that's consistent about this thing when Aaron Rodgers critiques this, missed throws, is that this guy is really content and pointing blame to other places. With the 23-yard touchdown pass that he missed to St. Brown on Sunday, he would go back to the Washington game, week 3. He missed the same throw to Randall Cobb in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
where he put the ball right out in front of him in the end zone when this guy is wide open.
Right.
But he threw it out in front of him, and it went through the end zone. Same throw. So if you keep seeing the same stuff and this guy is pointing blame to other places, it's like, becomes insanity. So this guy don't want to take the blame for this. And I love Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, it ain't nothing that's going to be that takes away from my mindset, and more than anything, that this season is going to be hinged on his lack of play, you know.
Right.
You know, more than anything, to me.
I would agree with you. I think that there's, again, this offseason, Ty, this is probably where you hit the reset button. You know what I mean? This is one of those career things where you look at yourself and you say, okay, what's going on? Because he's getting criticized. It used to be you'd only get a couple of whispers here and there inside Packer Nation. Now the rest of the world's woke up, and they're looking at this going, wait a minute, what's wrong with this guy? If this guy wears many things as a chip on his shoulder, this season should be one of them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He has to be willing to look himself in the mirror. Like you said, and hit that reset button. But he seems content with pointing blame elsewhere. Those throws on Sunday, man, there's no way around that.
Yep.
There's no way around that. We've seen Aaron Rodgers hit those throws in his sleep. The one to 83, the deep ball, he hit that same throw in Chicago 2 years ago in 16 to Jordy Nelson for the win. He hit the same throw.
He hit the same throw to Randall Cobb to put them into the playoffs the year of the year that they ended up, 8-7-1?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he hit that same play. He hit that exact same play to put them into the postseason that year and knock the Bears out.
Crazy thing about that throw, he's rolling to his left.
Right.
Throwing it with his right arm.
Right, right. No, I completely agree with you. I appreciate the phone calls always, Ty. Look, you know, and then Steve writes, you know, why are we always talking about Aaron Rodgers and accuracy and not about the rookies and talking about all the other things around Aaron Rodgers? Look, because he is the man. You know, okay, if you want to talk about Equanimeous St. Brown, let's talk. Do you see what he's doing? Are you paying attention to him? Are you watching his route? You know, again, for those that said he ran the wrong route, Aaron Rodgers admitted he didn't run the wrong route. And you still don't believe Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, that's the schism of leave the quarterback alone. It's everybody else's fault. This is the same Favre worshippers from years ago that never wanted to admit that there was something wrong. And then Mike McCarthy came in, straightened a few things out with Favre, and off he went, had one of the best years of his career. Unfortunately, it ended in disaster in that NFC Championship game before being jettisoned off to the Jets. And I will say this, in defense of Aaron Rodgers, it's not the money. He was the highest paid quarterback a few years ago in the league. It's not the money. Some people seem to think that, well, he got paid like every other, you know, athlete, and all of a sudden he quit. It's not the money. That's not it. First and foremost, he's guaranteed a certain amount of money, but he's not going to walk away from the game and just say, oh, to hell with it. That's just not him. That's not in his DNA. It's not because he got paid. I know some of you want to equate it to that, and I refuse to believe that. Just because you got to kind of know the guy, and you can think what you want about him, but it's not the money. It's not the fact that he got paid. Let's go to Philip, listening to us in Waukesha. Philip, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, doing fine, Bill. How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Okay, Aaron Rodgers, a couple things. First of all, you know, when I, in the previous years, and this year has been the first year in ages where I just really didn't care about football because how bad the Packers were. And but the thing is that I've always noticed when you watch other games, you know, when you watch the Packers and then you watch games in the afternoon and stuff like that, and you sit there and you watch the quarterbacks miss throw after throw and guys are wide open and that. And the thing that I always have in the back of my mind is, boy, isn't it nice to have a quarterback like Aaron where, you know, he would make that pass. You know, that pass is going to be right on.
Right.
And this year he hasn't done it. And a couple things. One of the things that I think about is that the trouble with the Packers, I think it was great that they won the Super Bowl and everything, but I think in looking in hindsight, that was like the worst thing that happened because Aaron was so good. And then we went into this, well, let's get mediocre plays. And because Aaron Rodgers is so great, we can still win. And we're not at that point anymore now where Aaron can carry this team like he used to because, you know, there's a lot of bad guys on this team. And, you know, and I think as far as quarterbacks in the league like Tom Brady doesn't have to play perfect every game. He's got a great defense. He's got good special teams. He's got a great all-around team on him. And that's always been one of my premises why Aaron hasn't won any other Super Bowls is because it's all on him. And I'm hoping that there's an injury involved here, that he's not 100%, maybe his legs hurt and that throw where he needs to put some extra zip on it. He can't use his legs and he's, you know, something mechanically wrong.
Yeah.
And as you were saying a little bit earlier, chalk this up. This is a terrible season for everybody, including Aaron. And you got a new coach coming in, and it's like start from scratch. And hopefully he can get back on track and start making those, you know, those throws. Because, I mean, just watching a game the other day, that was the first full game I've watched. And these crossing patterns where the guy's wide open and he throws the ball 8 yards in front of him. I mean,
right.
That just shouldn't be happening.
And even if, Philip, we'll say that they didn't hit the right mark, okay? Let's say they went 3 or 4 yards downfield further. They're still open. You're throwing to a jersey. You know, if you're still throwing, if a guy's running a route that's 7 yards and you're throwing to 5 yards and you can see him at 7 yards, you got to hit the guy at 7 yards, especially on when you're improv, okay? Once you're improv and you're moving and you're getting out of the pocket, no longer are you looking for the spot, you're looking for the jersey, which completely blows the on-the-same-page thing out of the water to a certain extent because you have to throw to the open jersey. Now, it's hard to do because you got to know where the guy is going as opposed to where you want him to be, and that's a tough thing. That's where the same page comes in. But when a guy's wide open crossing over the middle, there's no excuse. You know what I mean?
Just like that fourth down play where the guy, you know, it was a fourth, you know, the game was on the line at the end, fourth down, and the back is over the first down marker, and he throws the ball in the dirt.
Right. Nope, I get it.
I mean, and that's, So hopefully it'll be better next year.
Cross your fingers. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. We got a lot coming up today. I wanted to remind you, Burke Griffin, the sports director for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. We're going to hear from him and also some Clay Matthews cuts coming up. We'll talk some more about Aaron Rodgers. Also, the Bucks and Pistons from last night. Kane Pittman, who covers the Bucks for pickandroll.com in Australia. He is going to join us. We will chat with him. Also, we'll talk some David Bakhtiari. As he's had some things to say about the end of the season, we'll have our green and gold analyst Paul Emig is going to join us. We have the football frenzy today, but there's a lot to get to. Hang in there. Let's get to one more phone call here before we head to Burke Griffin. Let's get to Tim in Plymouth. Tim, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, with Rodgers, I almost can't believe it's physical. I think that ball would come out much differently if it was. I think we'd see sort of a Peyton Manning flobbering ball coming out. I don't think it's physical, to be honest with you. I think most of this is all in his head. I think part of it is pouting with McCarthy's plays, with Jordy being gone, not keeping the right guys. And I just think when he was laser-focused 2 and 3 years ago, that ball is where it's supposed to be every time. And I just don't think he has the focus that he used to have. And I believe until somebody gets at him, he needs to change his attitude and his focus, and I think he can be right back to where he was.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Appreciate the phone call. Sometimes it does take a different voice to look at you and go, okay, let's try this. This is what I see. Let's try this. And it also takes an open mind to say, okay, let's see what I can do differently. Let's see what somebody else sees in me. And because, you know, it has been the same voice, even with Joe Philbin. Joe's still the same voice that was inside that locker room prior to the season. We'll talk with Burke Griffin, sports director from WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay. He's going to join us. Coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are on board today, as always. Hey, regardless of the party that was supposed to be and is not going to be, we are still heading to Atlanta, Georgia for the NFL's biggest game. So come on out and enjoy it. If you're going down, we'll be on Radio Row. And if not, we will bring you all the guests, the big name stars, everybody that crosses our stage. As we're going to be down there again this year, Atlanta, Georgia, the site of Super Bowl. Looking forward to it. Going down there. Compliments of our good friends from Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limo, one of the nation's leading ground transportation providers. Check them out at booksignature.com. That's booksignature.com. As a matter of fact, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, it'll be the first time. I was saying yesterday, all my kids, grandkids, the entire family will be together for the first time in 20 years. So I called Pat, as a matter of fact, and I'm taking everybody out. We're going out in the town. We're starting at Stenny's, by the way. Going to go down to Stenny's. I think we need a table of 20. But starting down at Stenny's and taking everybody out for wings and a couple of beverages. We're going to play some shuffleboard and hang out down there on next Saturday night. And then after that, I don't know where we're going to go. Maybe ice skating or something like that. But it should be a good time. Looking forward to it. And it's all going to be a part of our friends from Signature Limo. Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV in Green Bay, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Burke, I tell you what, it's something that is now becoming almost commonplace. When before, the Emperor always had incredible clothes, but people are now looking at Aaron Rodgers under a different light. So let me ask you, how do you see the play of Aaron Rodgers this season?
You know what, Bill? I think there's a lot of different moving parts to this one. You know, you can say, well, he was the main reason that, you know, Mike McCarthy had to go and Aaron had to stay. He got the $100 million contract, 4 years, 134, whatever. And I look at it like this. He's a rare, once-in-a-lifetime talent. He is a two-time MVP. There is a reason you gave him all that money. And when you give the guy the keys to the car, you got to let him run it wide open. And you know, I think Mike got set in his ways. I think we all were a little surprised that it happened during the season and they didn't let him play out the string, and they can say what they want about we want to give him a chance to get out there and look at stuff, and Joe Philbin has a realistic shot at the job. Come on, man. We're not that dumb. I think Aaron, you know what, you get guys like Leroy Butler. To me, people pounced on that little tweet that he had, and it became clickbait, because that's what it all is today.
Right.
People, the more clicks you can get, the more advertising money you can charge people. Leroy didn't see anything completely damning, you know, and he didn't see anything that we didn't see. Mitch Trubisky outplayed Aaron on that particular day. And you know what? As good as he is, he's still worth the money. He's in his prime. But I will say this. Watching him and Tom Brady in the same day, on the same week of the season, both show a little bit of age and missed throws. I mean, look, Drew Brees had a pick two, and I, you know, it was a pick six last night, but, I mean, a bad throw by a great Hall of Fame quarterback last night. Guys are going to make mistakes, but you can't throw in. I mean, they gave him money for a reason. He should be able to play till he's almost 40. At a very high level for a couple more years. I just don't think they ever were in sync. You know, in his post-game press conference at Soldier Field, I mean, you heard it. He, not on the same page. Details, reoccurring issue. I think the loss of Randall Cobb, and even more important, Geronimo Allison this year,
right,
really changed things, because Geno was like Jordy. He stretched the field. He was tall. He was underappreciated, and he was on the verge of a breakout season. You know, Devontae is kind of like a Sterling Sharp with a little more wiggle and speed. And I think we saw this year, we went back to Mike Holmgren in 1993 and 94 when Sterling had 100 catches. Devontae is going to have 100 catches. He's going to have 1,400 yards roughly, but there's still going to be an 8-8, 9-7, 7-9 average team.
The schism between the haves and the have-nots, I've always said, is a very thin line. I sat and broke it down yesterday. I said, look, there's a number of reasons. You can say the loss of Jordy, the loss of Alex Van Pelt, Jimmy Graham being somewhat average, the loss of Randall Cobb for most of the season, Geronimo, then not getting a full complement of running backs, and really until week 9 when they finally jettisoned Ty Montgomery, relying on rookies, an offensive line on the right side that's been rather poor. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you can look at and say this thing just isn't built correctly. So give me your thoughts on how much it's going to take this offseason to get this thing right.
Oh, I think it's a definite tear down. You're going to see a ton of guys who are not back. Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, those guys are your top 10 long-term free agents, but you can't pay somebody $8, $10 million when they're producing like a guy who's only, you know, worth $1 million a year. I'm most disappointed in that tight end group, starting with Jimmy Graham, but Mercedes Lewis and Lance Kendricks, I mean, from drops to just ineffectiveness. And now I'm beginning to wonder, you know, for a guy who really utilized the tight end, Mike McCarthy, didn't really create game plans around those three when they were throwing the football. They didn't perform when the limited action that they got, but going into the season, I mean, that's one of the exciting parts about it. You're thinking, man, Jimmy Graham and Mercedes, here's this guy, and then Lance is your third. This is the most talented tight end group that we've seen in how long? But offensive line, look, they're at the point now where you're playing three different guys. Bakhtiari is even a little banged up, and not everybody wants to play the tough guy role. But do you want to be tough or do you want to be smart?
Right.
Like, let's look at your investment here. What benefits this team the most right now? Do you want the best draft pick possible? That makes the most sense. Your multi-million-dollar man getting hurt behind a patchwork whole line when you've got Jason Spriggs trying to block Khalil Mack in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had five sacks and could have had eight. It's not all on Spriggs, but the point is there's no reason for him to play right now. It's an audition. Again, I look at it like this. Do you want to be tough and stupid, or do you want to be smart and get better overall? Let's see what Deshaun Kaiser does. He traded for him a first-round pick in Demarius Randall, and he's a second-round guy who was a starter in the league. Let's be smart the final two games. I love Joe's quote, and it, well, you get paid to play football, you get paid to coach football. Yeah, great. But if you're going to invest that much money in a guy, why play him? I don't see a reason to.
Going back to when you talk about Joe, we assume that Joe is not long for this world. Is there anybody in your mind that you have, say, this would be a good guy? Or if not, what type of coach needs to come in and guide this team?
You know what? Everyone seems to point to Josh McDaniels. He's the quick and easy suggestion because he's a Belichick guy. He's had success. But we all saw what, you know, I mean, he left the Colts at the altar, so to speak.
Right. Not a lot of character is what you're saying.
Right. I mean, you know, and just because he's a Bill Belichick guy doesn't mean he's going to have success. You know, do you go old school with like a Jack Del Rio or a Bruce Arians or a Wade Phillips, one of the retreads who's, they've already had their shots. And I think that's kind of where Joe is. I mean, let's be honest, he didn't have a winning record in Miami. It was 24 and 28 overall. And I think you have to take a chance on a coordinator. You're a QB coach on a team that's got the offensive tools and somebody who's learning the system. The one guy that I think is kind of an interesting grab at this point would be Matt LaFleur, Titans offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach, excuse me. You know, look, I mean, he's bounced around a little bit, but where he's been and who he's coached and how good they have been, it really makes you wonder. I mean, he had RG3 in Washington when they were good 7-8 years ago. Matt Ryan, when they went to the Super Bowl, the Falcons. He was with Sean McVay and the Rams last year. And now he's got Marcus Mariota. He just seems to be a guy who has had success no matter where he has gone. And I think Matt LaFleur is a guy to keep your eye on. I wouldn't put it past them to make Mike Pettine the head coach and bring in an OC. That would not surprise or shock me, but you also have to look at the fact that between Pettine and Philbin, do you really want to keep guys around who Mike McCarthy specifically brought in to be with him? Just could make things awkward.
Talking with Bert Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV and CBS5 in Green Bay. Give me your assessment of Mike Pettine and what he's done with his defense this season.
Well, I think given the injuries they've had, he has done a pretty darn good job. There are some building blocks here. You know, Kenny Clark is a stud. The injury of Mike Daniels is unfortunate, and especially Muhammad Wilkerson to start the season. I think that's one of the biggest difference makers out there. I mean, when you look at overall talent, I mean, no offense, great guys, but Tyler Alexander and Dean Lowry, and look at the secondary that has been turned over year after year after year. I mean, watching Morgan Burnett and Mike and Casey Hayward and all the people that have left this secondary, including this season, Clinton Dix, which I mean, he missed a few tackles, took some bad angles. We all saw him take plays off, and he was in self-preservation mode for a contract pretty much all season long. But between Kenny, Jair Alexander, and maybe Blake Martinez, I mean, Mike Patton has done a pretty decent job with some really average football players. There are not a lot of guys who could leave that roster who were in that game at Soldier Field and go start for another team right now.
I had pointed to maybe about 10 to 11 spots that need to be upgraded going in the next season. Is that a fair number?
Oh, I think you're right on the money there. I think the only, you know, and look, Mason Crosby had his struggles, but beside punter, where do you really look at it and go, oh, they're really solid? You know, where are they? I mean, every single spot, two and three wide receiver, a couple spots on the offensive line, clearly tight end. Now Aaron Jones is banged up, and Jamal Williams, nice, solid football player, but you need another running back. Defensive line. They have issues at every level on this football team. And I think that's where the glaring part of Ted, I don't want to say driving it into the ground, but let's look at the facts here. This roster just does not have a ton of talent. I mean, even backup quarterback, we saw the fact that Brett Hundley could not carry this team to a 500 record after a 3-1 or 4-1 start last year and get them into the playoffs. And when Ron Wolf came here and started this whole thing in Mantua, first thing he did, played house, got his own quarterback, traded for Brett Favre. Ted Thompson, first pick he makes, Aaron Rodgers, first round. Brian Gutekunst gets the job last January. One of the first moves he made was Tony Romo for Deshaun Kizer, starting quarterback. Now, I get it. If Rodgers has this big contract, you're thinking he's got at least 3 to 5 more years left. But that's a statement. He went out and got Kizer. And if you've ever talked to Deshaun, I mean, just a smart, really intelligent dude. But it's a teardown. And you say 10 spots, I agree wholeheartedly. They need help at every level on this team except for punter.
Burke, always good stuff. We certainly appreciate it. And we will talk again soon, okay?
Perfect, dog.
All right, pal. There you go. Talk to you soon. That's Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS5 in Green Bay, joining us for a couple of minutes. And we certainly appreciate his time. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They're beginning to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Peace up. A-Town down.
Bill Michaels Show continues on. We certainly appreciate it. Hopefully you're enjoying your day. Going to talk coming up in the next hour about going back to the Aaron Rodgers stuff, because the 2018 season has not been good. Now, this is something I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball. Okay? And this is where optimistic Packers fan comes in, realistic Packers fan comes in, and pessimistic Packers fan comes in. But if you got to look into the crystal ball, 2019 for Aaron Rodgers will be what? 2019 for Aaron Rodgers will be what? Think about that. Now, depends on what you believe. Is this just an off year in which he's playing with young guys and not a great offensive line, lost Jordy Nelson, has to get used to some things and such? A new coach comes in, gives him some new direction, and things are going to be better? Is this going to be a 2019 is going to be just as bad because you believe that there's innate shoulder issues because of the broken collarbone? Are you the pessimist to say, Father Time's caught up to him, he fell off the cliff, and therefore 2019 is going to be just as bad or worse? I mean, you can get into all of that. So I think it's from what you have seen to the eyeball test. Now, again, I go back to the fact that Aaron Rodgers, statistically, you look at his numbers, they're fantastic. You know, there's a lot of teams that would kill for this. And no, we're not saying trade him, and no, don't pay him or cut him loose. I mean, those people that go there, just don't be so dramatic, okay? That's like your girlfriend says, I don't like that shirt. Oh, my God, we're breaking up. Come on, okay? Don't do that. Don't be a drama queen, all right? No need to. But you have to look at things legitimately and logistically, for that matter. Girlfriend says, I don't like that shirt. You can say, why don't you? Well, it doesn't look right on you. Doesn't fit right on you. Baggy on you. Too tight on you. Okay, there's some legitimate complaints, criticisms, whatever it happens to be. Not your color. I like you in red. I like you in purple. Whatever. Let's talk about it. Coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.